We're going to rebuild our inner cities because our African-American communities are absolutely in the worst shape that they've ever been in before, ever, ever, ever. You take a look at the inner cities, you get no education, you get no jobs, you get shot walking down the street. They're worse. I mean, honestly, places like Afghanistan are safer than some of our inner cities.
Joining us now here on the Laura Ingraham Show is John Lott, of course, legendary author, thinker, researcher on Second Amendment issue. His book, The War on Guns, and so much of his stuff is just like, you just have to read it. You have to know John Lott if you want to understand what's at stake in this election. John, it's great to talk to you. Let's get right to the point of it. We're hearing now that the reason for this unrest is because of police action and Hillary demanding, quote, reform across the board yesterday in a speech in Orlando. What's really at the heart of this problem in the inner city, especially in a place like Charlotte?
Well, police officers have a dangerous job. And, you know, they face dangers. And what you find is that they're more likely to use force when their lives are in danger. You have about 90% or so of these shootings involve criminals who are actually involved in a crime and are armed at the time when the shooting occurs. You know, mistakes are made, but data that I've put together from 2013 to through 2015 indicates that black officers are actually slightly more likely to shoot a black person than a white officer, which is obviously the type of case that you have in Charlotte that's there. There, we have data on body cameras. You find no difference in shooting rates when a police department requires its officers to have body cameras than when they don't. You would think if there was racism or that was motivating it, people would be more likely to hide that when there were more witnesses or when body cameras were there.
Mm-hmm.
You see no differences in those types of cases. And so, you know, you have so many times these narratives have been proven to be false, and it doesn't seem to make any difference. People have already made up their mind.
It's like OJ. Doesn't it remind you a little bit, John, of OJ, where you had the racial divide? You had like 90% of African Americans thinking OJ was innocent. Everyone was like, I can't believe the man got off with the DNA, right. Essential DNA match. It didn't. None of the facts mattered. That's frightening.
Well, I agree. It is. And look, the Obama administration has really stoked these fires, not only coming out many times immediately after the incident has occurred before we know any facts and pretty much assigning blame, but you have reports that the Department of Justice has done on different police departments, Ferguson, going and claiming that there was inherent racism there. I've tried to get the data that the Department of Justice used in their Ferguson report. And their response is basically, go sue us. You know, they go and make...
Well, let's sue them. Let's do a FOIA request on that, John. Are you already doing that?
Well, I did a FOIA request, and they basically came back and said, sue us for it. So if you can help me sue them, I'd be thrilled.
Oh, I know how we can do it. Let's get Citizens United. Let's get Judicial Watch. Let's call up our friends over there, and this is what you have to do. You have to take them to court. Unless you have a court order, unless you have DNA evidence, unless you have a clear, clear evidence of wrongdoing, they will not admit to anything. So it's like getting information out of them is like wringing water from a stone. It really is. It's just impossible. But you have to sue them, and then you will get the information. I think we'll see a big lie.
Right. Well, I know we'll see a big lie. I mean, I'll just give you one simple thing in the Ferguson report. Whenever they see a disparity that occurs, they attribute it to racism. So 2/3 of the population of Ferguson's black, 76% of the stops for traffic stops involve black drivers. They ignore the fact that if you look at the seven cities surrounding Ferguson, the average black population is 90%. And I've talked to police there. They basically use the traffic stops as a way of making people outside the city pay for the tax bill, essentially. So it's not anything to do with racism against blacks who don't live in the city. It just has to do with the fact that, as many cities do, they're trying to get people outside the city to pay for the city's costs.
Hey, John, we're going to hold you over if you have time. If you don't, I understand. But sure. If you can hold over with us, I'd like you to hold, because I want to ask you about the concern that I think is prevailing among many Americans who are gun owners, that a Hillary Clinton presidency would make it more difficult to own a gun, or perhaps in some areas, almost impossible to own a gun. John Lott, foremost expert on guns, violence, even policing, with the research that he's done, is going to stay with us. A lot more coming up. Breaches from well-known companies are the ones making the headlines, these data breaches, according to recent insurance studies. 40% of identity fraud cases, though, result just from something as simple as a lost or stolen wallet or a purse. Happened to me. To help minimize your risk, make sure, by the way, you don't carry certain items in your wallet or purse, social security card, your passport, birth certificate, extra credit cards. Some people have like 15 credit cards in their wallet. It's a bad idea. Cut those babies up. Passwords, PIN numbers, even your checkbook can be used. So identity theft is fastest growing crime in the United States. It happens when thieves use your information to pretend they're you. And they can buy things on your credit card, liquidate your bank accounts. You know what happens then. My friends, you have to become a member of LifeLock like I'm a member of. LifeLock is better than the free credit monitoring services. They have a U.S.-based agent who will fix your problem, help resolve it if you get intruded upon, your identity gets stolen. I remember no one can prevent all ID theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock is the best of the best. All you need to do is call them, 800-495-8020, 800-495-8020, or go to LifeLock.com. Put that name in Laura, 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus. Use my name, Laura, and LifeLock.com.
He didn't have no gun. He wasn't messing with nobody. They jumped out their truck. They said, hands up. He got a gun. He got a gun. Pow, 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 pow. That's it.
This morning, this new photo, apparently showing a gun on the ground next to Scott, obtained from an eyewitness by our Charlotte station WCNC. A police source says it's genuine. No book was found at the scene.
Remember that story that... It was the same thing as hands up, don't shoot, but it was, don't shoot, I have a book. It was a story like that. It's just circulating. It was a book, not a gun. He was reading Nathaniel Hawthorne or Herman Melville or, whatever. I mean, he was reading The Notebook by Nicholas Sparks. I don't know. Maybe he was reading me, but he had a book. He had a gun. But the stories just get circulated. This is the problem with the online world. Things just get repeated, and then if they're repeated enough, people think it's true. We continue with John Lott for a few moments here on the Laura Ingraham Show on the issue that a lot of us are concerned about. We see this unrest in the street in Charlotte. We've seen it before in Ferguson, in Baltimore. Of course, other Black Lives Matter protests that got totally out of hand. We had the Dallas police shootings. Remember those? We had, what was it, 5 officers who were killed in that? That was horrific. With it, so much stuff has happened, you literally start forgetting about it because it's just so much strife. And John Lott, the concern is that if Hillary is elected, our Second Amendment rights will, not maybe, but will be eroded under her pretense of safety and protecting the community. Is that fear unfounded or is it realistic?
I think it's extremely realistic. I don't think we've had such a threat to people's ability to be able to go and defend themselves. Look, she's promised multiple times that she will reverse the recent Supreme Court decisions on the Second Amendment, the Heller and McDonald decisions. The Heller decision, the only thing that it did was to strike down Washington, D.C.'s ban on guns. Handguns were completely banned. You could theoretically own a long gun or a shotgun or a rifle, but if you actually put a bullet in the rifle or a shotgun shell in the shotgun, it was a felony punished by 5 years in prison. And so the Supreme Court said, look, for all practical purposes, people are prevented from using any type of gun in self-defense in D.C., and they said that went too far, and they struck it down. So if she is able to appoint even one member of the Supreme Court, because right now it's a 4-4 tie, Antonin Scalia, who authored the original decision with regard to D.C., died earlier this year, and the four liberal justices have indicated strongly that I think they would easily overturn that decision if given a chance. If she appoints one member of the Supreme Court, they'll overturn that. And the thing is, places like Washington, D.C. will probably immediately go and ban guns again. But beyond that, you have California, for example. California is on a glide path right now to banning handguns. They have so-called safety regulations for handguns. Since 2001, over 1,200 models of handguns have been banned in California. In a few years, there'll basically be no handguns that will be able to be legally sold there in the state. And if Hillary wins and is able to overturn the Heller decision, then I think that type of effective ban will be able to stand. If Donald Trump wins and appoints the people that he's promised that he'll appoint, then it'll be upheld. And I believe California's handgun ban or effective handgun ban will be stopped.
They are making it so expensive to receive a permit to have a concealed carry license in some states. We saw the fees in Massachusetts, John. I know you probably know this, but just skyrocket. And the effort, right. The effort is, of course, they want to get more money to collect money for the people, but also it's to make it harder to get a gun. And it's the great equalizer for a single woman trained in firearm use is a gun. It's a great equalizer. And if someone comes through the front door, that's your equalizer right there.
I agree completely. Women benefit much more than men from owning guns. Poor blacks and Hispanics, the type of people who are most likely to be victims of violent crime, are more likely to benefit from owning a gun. Look, in the war on guns, one of the things I go through is I have a whole series of discussions about how I believe these rules are being used to consciously disarm poor people, particularly poor minorities. I'll just give you one example from the book, and that is in 2013, when Colorado was passing its background checks on private transfers, I got calls from state legislators. They asked me what amendment to put up. I suggested they put up an amendment that would make it so that people below the poverty level didn't have to pay the new state tax that they were proposing on gun transfers. They put that up with the exception of two pro-gun Democrats. Every other Democrat voted against exempting people below the poverty level from having to pay the new state tax. How many taxes can you think of where Democrats will fight tooth and nail against exempting people below the poverty level from having to pay? And there are a whole series of examples like that. The Washington Post found that after the Heller decision, they assigned a reporter to go and try to get a handgun there. The total cost, just the fees and the taxes, ignoring time costs and other things, came to over $820 to go and get a license and register a handgun in D.C. Who do they think they're stopping from being able to get it? I mean, middle income and poor people. The very people that my research shows benefit the most from owning a gun are the ones that Democrats are stopping from being able to go and protect themselves. You have Baltimore. They have new licensing and registration of handguns there that they had in 2013. I suggested the similar type of amendment to exempt people below the poverty level from having to pay it. The Democrats, since they control two-thirds of the state House and Senate there, wouldn't even let the amendment come up for a vote. But when you had the problems in Baltimore last year, the police were told to stand down. They were told in the poorest areas, where they're making it so that poor people can't even afford a gun in those places, they're telling the police to stand down and not protect the people in those poor areas. So they're not allowing to protect themselves, and the political powers prevented the police from protecting those individuals.
Well, we're talking to John Lott here on the Laura Ingraham Show. His book, War on Guns, you know, laid all of this out. I mean, the actual research, the facts behind how gun ownership makes for a safer community when the rule of law, and properly enforced, the rule of law reigns. Well, what we saw last night is rampant criminality and no one stopping the perpetrators. We've seen behavior, criminal behavior, tolerated because of political correctness. Do you agree with me? I mean, look at what happened last night. These people are just allowed to loot these stores. The police are in an impossible situation. I get that. But if people think that they can get away with it, they will do it. In wilding and parking garages, individuals being smashed over the heads, kicked in the face if they were white. I mean, where's the law and order?
Look, police, I agree, have an impossible job in these types of situations. They do the best that they can. The question is, what should people do when they're having to confront criminals by themselves? And I'll tell you this, if you look at surveys of police probably support private ownership of guns more than any other group because they know they're important in solving crimes, but police also understand how they virtually always arrive on the crime scene after the crime's committed. And they know in their own lives, in their own jobs, how important having a gun is. And, you know, you look at the Fraternal Order of Police. Hillary Clinton is the first major presidential candidate that didn't even try to get the endorsement of the Fraternal Order of Police. And when you read the questionnaire that they gave out, you can understand why she didn't. The Fraternal Order of Police wanted the presidential candidates to pledge that they understood that gun control does not reduce crime. Yeah. They wanted a pledge from the candidates to say that they understood that the Second Amendment was quote-unquote sacrosanct. So you read those questions, you can understand why Hillary Clinton didn't even bother filling out the form on that.
John, we're out of time, but we really appreciate it. John Lott, author of The War on Guns, impeccably researched and thought through. The election is important for many reasons, but for those of us who find and feel that the right to gun ownership is an individual right, is sacrosanct, then you better get out there and vote, because Hillary is coming for those guns in one way or another, making it too expensive to own a gun, putting people on the court who will uphold these state restrictions on gun ownership. I'm telling you, this is do or die for the Second Amendment. Don't go away.
The Laura Ingraham Show.